Good morning. Wow, I just feel like the prophetic is stirring this morning. I know there's people with the gifting, prophetic gifting in our church, and I mean, we all have different gifts that God's given us, but I just feel like it's really stirring this morning. So actually, let's just do something really different. If you feel like this is something that you function in regularly, that God releases through your life. I mean, we're all called to be prophetic, so anybody can reach out their hands right now and take it. But I just feel like there's going to be a new way of a prophetic words being released through you. And it's not just coming skyward down, but he's going to use his vessels. And so, Lord, right now, go ahead and just put out your hands. Lord, right now, I just pray that you'd fill us up, Lord, with your words, your language, the language of heaven. And you would release it in a new measure. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for this body that loves the move of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for times that are scheduled on your calendar, God, that you want to release a new wave and a new move. Lord, I just thank you for the stirring right now. And that where there's a whirlwind, I pray that we would step right into it, God, and not remain on the outside of it, but take us right into the eye, God, right into the middle. Mm-hmm. Wow. I believe that there's some of you here, God's going to release this week words for people, and you're going to release it on Facebook, on social media. You're going to call them. You're going to send letters. God's going to give you the way to release it. It's going to be at work. And new words for people. And it's, you know, like he's just going to download something from heaven through you to their life to encourage them. Amen. So good. Huh? You kind of just want to stay there, don't you? Like, it's so good. But I do have a good message. At least I think it's good. We'll find out if you think it's good when it's all said and done this morning. But I want to talk about recapture the vision. We're recapturing the vision. And I want to open in Numbers chapter 13. That's where our main text is today. And it will be up on the screen, but you can also open your Bible. There's something about the good old-fashioned paper Bible. I love to read from here. I mean, I do, you know, read off my iPad and my phone and everything, but there's something about the actual just paper. I don't know. I'm old school that way. So Numbers 13, 1 and 2. So whatever you prefer works. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Numbers 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." And so we see God doing something new here. He's about to recapture the vision of his people. In verse 17, next slide, it says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan." It names all of them, and he sends them out. And he's like, go see what it's like. Go get the fruit of the land. I want you to bring back report of what you see there, what you experience there. And so verse 21, they went up and spied out the land. And verse 25, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now, this is an exciting time. They get to do basically what I call a drive-by. You know, like when we bought our house here in Novato just over 13 years ago, we were upgrading from our condo, which we really thoroughly enjoyed and loved, and we're going to go to a place where, like, let's buy somewhere we feel like we can just settle in, raise our kids. We had one kid at the time. We knew we would have future kids, raise our family. And so we put an offer here on the house, and we would go drive by it, though, while it's in process. How many know there's a waiting time that you have to make sure you're approved and you get the loan and all this kind of stuff? And so, but we would just drive by it, and we'd go by slow. We'd go by in different cars, even, because we thought we were bothering the neighbors because they seem to be hanging out a lot. You know, they happen to be outside when you're driving by and you're just, you know, just cruising the neighborhood again, you know, like doing circles around. And I mean, it was like our promised land, right? It's like had four apple trees and two cherry trees, and there's grapevines growing crazy in the backyard and a pool to swim in. And we're like, oh, this is our future home. It's so exciting. This is where we're going to live. This is where we're going to set down roots. We're going to, you know, envision in our children. I mean, literally it's a white picket fence house. It has a white picket fence on it. And so we were so excited. We got family involved to go visit with us, right? Like, come see what we're getting. This is so cool. And Kayla's brother works for the sheriff's department. And so he shows up in his patrol car one night. And it's later, it's like dusk or something. I think it was pretty dark out. And so he has his flashlight out, but we forgot that there's one renter left. The people had owned it before, let a renter use it. And there's one lady left. We scared her half to death. You know, Jesse's out there with his flashlight, like looking into the windows and stuff of the house. I mean, we were excited, you know, to see, you know, she thought she was in trouble. She wasn't, you know, but we're like, we're just going to live here. We're going to be here. So I think this is what the Jewish people felt in this moment. Like, this is exciting. We get to do a drive-by and see what we're going to go live in and possess. And they had been on quite the journey, hadn't they? If you think about it, they had come out of slavery. And I'm talking, we understand slavery a little bit in our country, not so much in California, but we understand slavery on a certain measure. But these people had been in slavery for over 400 years. I mean, talk about mentality, talk about like, this is what we've always been, where we've always done, and having to move through this. And God's like, I'm hearing your cries, I'm going to set you free. And so he brings them out, and they're like, yeah! I mean, this moment of like, they borrow everybody's jewelry and clothing and the best dishes. They're like, we need dishes to go have our party in the desert, right? They're like, bring me your silver, your gold, and they're going out, and I mean, God protects them from their enemies. They get to a hard, you know, they're out there like, ah, here comes the enemy, here comes the Egyptians. And then the Lord opens the Red Sea before them. They get on the other side. They're like dancing, doing the jig. I mean, they're like the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Woo! Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Woo! Horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Woo! I mean, it literally, Miriam's out there with the tambourine leading all the women, you know. They're going for it. They're celebrating. They're like, we got freedom. I mean, you know, it's free. 400 years, you're going to celebrate. I mean, this is bigger than 4th of July, okay? This is a big moment. Their enemies have just been destroyed. And so here they are. And then like 3 days in, they're like, we're thirsty. What are we doing here? And God supernaturally provides for them to drink. And then they're like, we're hungry. God supernaturally provides them food. And they have these glory moments with God. And God's visiting them on a mountain. The glory of God's coming down. And they're freaking out a little bit because it's just out of their box. And, you know, I mean, they're having just understanding worship, and they're like, Moses, you go pay the price. You go develop and cultivate your relationship with God. We're going to stay back here. You just tell us what he wants us to do and we'll do it. They're like, we're in this to win it, right? We're like, yeah. I mean, well, it's all easy, you know? They're like, yeah. Well, now it's time that God's saying, I want you to recapture the vision. Israel, I want you to go back. This is why I brought you out here. If you read in Exodus 3, he spoke to them before he brought them out, before the deliverance process began. He said, this is what's in my heart. I've heard of your sufferings. I've heard your cries. I've heard your sorrows. And I'm aware of them. So I'm going to come. I'm going to deliver you and bring you up out of where you've been, out of slavery, into freedom, into a land that flows with milk and honey, which signifies that it's totally fertile, totally fruitful. It's everything good that you can imagine. And he tells them in that same thing, a land with milk and honey, that flows with milk and honey, and there are giants, and the Canaanites, the Pezorites. I mean, he starts listing all these groups that also live there. But I'm going to take you in there. This land is going to be yours. And so he told them, basically, that they're destined not to be slaves, that they were destined to be a free people and to live in a very fruitful place. I mean, talk about a promise. I'm taking you out from this hard bondage into a very fruitful land, into a very fertile place. And so, you know, you think about this, and, you know, we're in a day of social media now, right? And we all can capture so much on our cell phones. We've all become the self-proclaimed photographers. I mean, some of us more than others. And, you know, to the chagrin of my children, I post a lot on Instagram and Facebook. But I love to be able to go back and look. It's my living, you know, photo album. It's my, yeah, I just have it now live. I don't just tuck it away, you know, in a storage, you know, or in on the shelf, or just collects dust, my pictures. Now they're out there for the world to see and enjoy as much as me, right? And so you have this living album of life. And what's fun now is Facebook, if you're unaware, some of you are so good, you're not even, don't even know what I'm talking about. Bless you. But for others, others of us love like Facebook. Well, I'm not as much, but anyway. But Facebook now has these recall memories. It will come up like 7 years ago, you were with this person. I'll show you a picture. 9 years ago, you became friends with so-and-so, you know. And it has these, and it says you want to share your memory. And that's where I want to start today, because to recapture the vision, we need to recall our promises. We need to surface some things that have been in our past, and we need to bring them up to the present and remind ourselves of what we were seeing before, or what we had experienced before, or tasted of before. And so my first point is to recall your promises. Now, why do I say recall your promises and not the promises? Because we have to make them mine. We have to make them ours. We have to personalize them. He told them, when I just read in Numbers 13:2, if you want to go back to it, it says what? That I will give you. I'm going to give you. This is yours. And so we need to write mine on the promises of God. Begin to recall his promises and be like, that belongs to Rachel. You know, when you own something as a kid, you write your name, or your parent, you don't necessarily. Actually, Phoebe used to do this. Her dolls, she'd have a doll and she'd write Phoebe across its forehead. I should have pulled up that picture. I just thought of it right now. I'm like, I wonder who the doll belongs to. You know, the kids' clothes, because, you know, they went to, and one's still going here to Marin Christian Academy, and they wear uniforms, and the sweatshirts get mixed up, and everything gets, you know, their lunch boxes and all that. You write your name in Sharpie on it, right? You write their name. So in all the tumble of life, you can just go pick it out and be like, that one's yours. It may look like somebody else's, but that is yours. And we need to do this with the promises of God and say, this is mine. I feel like we need to be the little kid that licks our hand when the cupcakes are out and goes, mine, 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 mine. Get your DNA in there. Mine, 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 mine. Those are mine. And I want to do that with the promises of God. Mine, 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 mine. I put my name on it. Sharpie doesn't, you know, work so well because now there's goof off. And so you can engrave things any, you know, you can put your, like, you can't get that out. You engrave something, you get your name really in there. And we need to do that. We need to engrave. We need to take, like, our kids, and they were in soccer. We didn't engrave their soccer balls, but we would definitely write, like, cling on the soccer ball, because they'd go to practice and those things would roll around in the dirt and other kids would get them and grab them, and then at the end it would be like, where's your soccer ball? I don't know. I don't know. Go find the one with your name on it. That's the one that belongs to you. We need to own it. It's like the title deed of your house. If anything comes up, you have the title, you have the proof. It has your name on it. It belongs to me. And the same with the promises. We need to be like, this belongs to me. I've been handed the keys, but there's somebody squatting in my house. But the keys are mine. It belongs to me. I put my name on it. It's mine. Mine, 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 mine. Own it. If you don't own it, you won't possess it. Can you see what he's given you? Do you remember the promises he's told you about? It's time that we resurface those things, recall those things. If you don't have them written down somewhere, write them down. Put them down somewhere you can, again, remember that these are the things he's told me about that I will walk in. Habakkuk 2, he said, write the vision down that those who read it can run. In other words, the vision gives pain a purpose. You don't go to the gym without vision. Your vision and going to the gym is to look better, be healthier, gain some muscle, lose some fat. You have some vision. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? I don't ever go to the gym. You need some vision, because vision gives pain a purpose. It really does. They got back, these spies, from the 40-day expedition, and they noted there were giants occupying their promise. Our goal isn't to avoid discomfort and or the challenge. Our goal is to possess the promises of God. So are you ready for a fight? When you recall the vision, are you ready to fight for it? Are you ready for a challenge? Do you have the courage to move forward, to go into a new season with God? We talk about challenges all the time, and usually a lot of us are up for challenges. I know some of you out there, you know, we play games, And like, you are like the most competitive person that has ever played, right? There's like Settlers of Catan that we play in our house. And I tell you, it surfaces things in our family that I didn't even know existed. I'm not the only competitive one. I'll just say that. He's looking down his phone. We're up for a challenge. Aren't we? We're up for a challenge if we're involved in athletics and sports or even for our teams. We're totally up for the challenge. We're up for the challenge at work. We're like, I'm going to be the number one salesperson. I'm going to meet that goal. I'm going to be the best employee here. We're up for the challenge. But it's time that we're up for a spiritual challenge. It's time that we're up to take on some giants. And so the 12 come back and they brought back vision or the word to the people. This is how we see it, they say in verse 27 through verse 29. Then they told him, Moses, and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. And they showed forth the fruit. Now, this is like, it's everything God promised us it would be. They're saying exactly what the words of God were in Exodus 3. It's everything that he told us about. Oh my gosh, it's awesome. It's amazing. You're going to want to eat this. Try this. Sample this. This is what you get to eat when you're there. They really liked food. We'll get to there later. But verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So here's the vision. Here's the word that they brought back. The promise is incredible in every way. We're going to have to deal with some things, though, to obtain it. We're going to have to deal with some giants in order to possess it. Now, I know that we don't like necessarily the resistance, the challenge. But I think about, I love when I like preaching from the Old Testament or teaching from the Old Testament, I love to always bring in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 16:9 tells us, this is what Paul writes. He says, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. He's saying the door is wide open. I mean, like, this is incredible. And yet there's still resistance. And I feel like there's so many things like that with the promises of God. The door is wide open for you to possess, for you to go in and to walk in this. But yet you're still going to encounter resistance. Unfortunately, we have become a culture that we don't like adversaries. We don't like resistance. We don't like things that try us on that realm. We're like, can we just have the open door and no resistance? Can I have easy street, please, God? I like easy street. I do. I like it. But God's like, no, there's going to be giants there. And, you know, a lot of times nowadays when we meet resistance, what do we want to do? We want to throw in the towel. We want to give up. We want to roll over. And honestly, I really believe that in our culture, we've become very soft. You know what I mean. We've become soft. I went to the gym 15 years ago. We become soft in our marriages. Things get rocky. Things get bumpy. I'm out of here. We don't know what it is to fight for something, to hold on to something. I made these vows. I'm going to keep them. I said up here, till death do us part, through, you know, ups and downs, through the blessings and the curses, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go through. I'm not going to be soft in my marriage. You know, we're going to become so soft in our relationships in general. They said something I didn't like. I'm out of here. Bounce. I'm out. We do this all the time. We become soft in our jobs, right? At our workplaces. They're asking me to do things and I just don't like it. It's called a job. It's called a job. It's called labor, actually, labor, which implies that you will be working. I'm sorry. There's something. I know some of you are a little bit, you know, in the more mature side here. And so you're kind of like, Rachel, I get where you're, the younger generation. But I tell you, I feel like in the spirit, a lot of us has become soft in the spiritual realm. We're like, yeah, I did things in the past. I had victories in the past. I overcame in the past. But what about right today? Where we face things, we got to face them head on. We got to go after them. When there's resistance, we got to get going. We got to get moving. We got to push back. What about sharing Christ? We become soft with sharing Christ. Well, my neighbors give me dirty looks now that I shared with them, so I'm just going to stop. Or they talk about me in a way that I don't like them to, so I'm just going to stop. I've become soft. I don't press things through in love. I don't press things through anymore. You know, I forgot to share this last service, but, you know, we begin to get the idea of, like, have you seen what I have to, that idea, like, have you really seen what I have to deal with? Like, Rachel, what I'm facing, can you pick that picture up? I hope it comes up clearly. I love this picture. I show it all the time when I do Marin Christian Academy chapels. I feel like instead of seeing the joy in this picture, we immediately can see defeat in our lives. Have you seen what I'm dealing with? It seems like this. James 1, 2, and 3 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I mean, we can just stop there because there's a lot right there. First of all, consider it all joy when you face a trial. No, trials of any kind. Many, like multiple and different shapes, different forms. Count it joy. Like what? Why? Why? Because vision gives pain a purpose. The vision is because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You don't have to be happy about the trial itself, but the possible results that you're about to grow. You're about to get strong. You're about to flex some spiritual muscle and be like, watch this puppy. Watch this gun. Yeah. I'm about to get stronger. I'm going to recall the promise in the middle of my trial because vision will give this trial, this pain, a purpose. Recapture the vision. Recapture what God wants to do. And so you can be like that little kid up there, be like, I'm about to have a good time. I'm about to have a good time. I love this. You can see the smiling faces in the audience, you know. Good time's about to go down now because some giants are about to go down. I think about Paul writing to Timothy, and he tells him, Tim, don't grow soft in the ministry. Don't grow soft in your Christianity. And he tells him he needs to be like three things. He says, you need to be like a soldier, you need to be like an athlete, and you need to be like a hardworking farmer. He says, you know, I want you to really think about this and meditate on this. God's going to give you insight about these three pictures. God speaks a lot in pictures, doesn't he? He says, Tim, you got to think about like being a soldier. A soldier is going to endure hardship. He's going to have to go through some things. He's like, gear up, Tim. There's hard things that you're going to have to go. I mean, you don't just quit. You don't just back out. You keep going. Tim, you have to be like an athlete. There's going to be competitive. There's competition going on. You got to train. You got to get in there. You got to work even when you don't want to work. When you're fatigued and you're tired, you got to keep going. And then you got to get up the next day and do it again. And you got to be like a hardworking farmer. What does a farmer have to do? Things are going to get dirty. You're going to have to dig and plow some ground in order for there to be some fruit. In order for you even to plant seeds in the ground, you're going to have to dig out some things. You're going to have to sit there and work and labor until you see the fruit come out. Don't get soft, Tim. Don't get soft, church. Remember that you're called to be a soldier. Remember that you're called to be an athlete. Remember that you're called to be a hardworking farmer. I love all this because I feel like it relates to all different areas of life. So maybe the Lord is telling us this morning that perhaps we can't deal with the giants around our lives if we're unwilling to deal with the giants within our own hearts. Perhaps we can't face what's on the outside if we don't face what's on the inside. And maybe, just maybe, God allows the giants to be there to manifest what's in our hearts. Just maybe the problems going on today that you read in the news or this week that you read in the news are there to show you if you have any giants still resident in your own heart. Because I know if God takes care of the heart, he can take care of anything. The problem then with the Jewish people, with Israel here, was not somebody else. God had already promised victory. He already promised an open door. He already said, it's yours for the taking. Go ahead. But they had to deal with their own giants. They had to deal with their fear, with their unbelief, But their laziness with their lust, they had to deal with the giants inside. They needed to take responsibility for their own heart. And I feel like it's time that we be reintroduced to the cross. The same God that deals with giants on the outside is the one who deals with the giants in our heart. The cross took victory over Satan. It took victory over every evil principality and power. And yet we forget that that same cross will take victory over the giant in my heart, of the unbelief, the fear in my own heart. Now, I remember, you know, being a teenage girl and at youth camp, and my sister and I, we liked the same guy, and wow, what a moment. And it wouldn't be the first time nor the last time. And we liked the, you know, the same guy, and I had lost. She had won. She got him. I mean, you guys, come on. I have Caleb now. I was in tears. I was distraught. I mean, like, teenage drama, you just think that? That's what I was. I mean, and teenage girl drama, you know what it's like. Like, you know, like, tears, crying, drama, like, freak out moment. Well, not all of you know because you're not all girls, but you freak out moment in the midst of hormones and being 14 and, you know, whatever. And I lost to my sister of all people, you know, my gorgeous, you know, she's only 14 months older. And she's like, I was like broken, hurt, angry, bitter, jealous. I mean, all the rage of emotions. There was no ice cream available for me to console my soul. Like, I was at camp, a Christian camp, and I was a pre-Christian, and I was like, I go to church every Sunday. My mom was faithful to take me to church every Sunday, and I'm like, I guess I should pray. I was so broken, like literally broken, like, you know, broken. And I said, God, this is when the one, I mean, he met me a few times before I was really, had surrendered my life, and this is one of these radical encounters. I said, God, if you are real, deal with the heart. I did not pray God change his mind and come back to me. I know what some of you are thinking. It was a miracle, and then we dated and broke up. Oh my gosh, it was so awesome. No, no. I was like, God, if you're real, deal with the giant of jealousy. Deal with the giant of hatred. Deal with the giant of hurt. Deal with the giant of brokenness. God, if you're real, do this. And I went to bed and I woke up a different person. I was like, what? Where did it go? Because I knew in that moment I had not tried. I had not, you know, it was just one simple prayer and it was dealt with. And I understood the cross of Christ and the power to slay the giant within. The power to transform within. And still today, I have to understand the power of the cross where little Rachie gets too big some days. Myself, I mean, we can get, all of us, we can get so selfish. And Jesus said, if you're my disciples, you're going to pick up your cross daily and follow me. You're going to deal with your giants on a daily basis. And little Rachie self gets big some days. And I know I'm where I need to go. I need to go back to the foot of the cross. I need to go back to where the giants are dealt with and lay my life back down there. So what do you have vision for? What are your promises? Maybe promises for family members. Maybe promises, areas of recovery. You know, I feel like we heard this morning through this word. Holding scripture. Like, greater works will you do? Rachel, greater works, I put my name on it, will you do? I own it, it's mine. What's your promise that you're leaning towards? Recapture that vision. Recall those promises. Secondly, reconsider your company. In order to recapture the vision, it's important that we reconsider our company, or who we are hanging out with and what we are hanging out with, what we're allowing into our lives. Here we have 12 spies. Now, I have to get it right this service. I just kept messing up numbers last service. You guys missed it. It's special. That's why we practice the first service, and then hopefully the second service you get through all the bumps, right? Okay. 12 spies were sent for 40 days on a camping trip together. And not just a normal camping trip. This is an expedition. This is like a sign me up. I'm sure like if all guys in this room would hear about this, they'd be like, I want to go. Spy mission? Where are we going to hit REI? Let's order some stuff on Amazon. We can get like, you know, night goggles to see in the night, you know. I mean, I'm sure they are having a moment. I mean, they're like doing the signs to each other. You go there. They're rolling off the trees, you know. And like, I mean, they're like 40 days of this awesomeness, right? Hiking, the views. They're eating fruit. They're like, did you have those figs? Oh, yeah. Like, try one roasted. I think we should call it Figmore. Is that a s'more? Okay. They were having a good time. They're telling stories around the campfire. I mean, this is 40 days. Like, what do we get to see next? I mean, just imagine the adrenaline pumping through their veins as they come up to a new city or a new place. Did you see that guy? Oh, yeah, I saw that guy. And they talk about it, have some man moments. And they get back. And 10 of them begin to do something crazy. 10 of them began to pull away from the promise. And I'm sure Caleb and Joshua in that moment were thinking, weren't we with you? Didn't we share the last month and a half with you? What are you guys talking about? Where is this coming from? See, adrenaline had subsided and now they were just focusing on things that they shouldn't focus on. And these 10 begin to speak unbelief. You know, here a few giants show up and all of a sudden everything is fine with just staying where they are. Instead of going into that promise, going into what God had destined for their lives, all of a sudden some resistance shows up and they're fine with just, no, we're good here. I think it's comfortable here outside the promised land. Here, just wandering around with no nation, no home place. This is all good. And they even got to the point where it got so bad, they begin to think, oh, back in the days when we were in Egypt, the garlic and the leeks. I mean, they're foodies. I mean, these people are like my people. I so relate to them. Like, oh my gosh, you know what it's like when you like cook some garlic and onion on the stove. It makes the whole house smell so good. You're like, what's for dinner? Caleb, of course, will always ask, what's for dinner if I cook garlic and onions? What's for dinner? It's in all of our nature, so don't just think it's them. But they're like, let's go back just for the food. I mean, are they forgetting 400 years of slavery? Are they forgetting this? And here they're like, oh my goodness, suddenly they're like okay with living in a place of status quo, of living in a place that just seems comfortable and complacency instead of pushing forward. They're like, hey, this is what fear and unbelief will do to you. You'll say, no, don't really go in there. There's too much work to be done over there. It's hard to get to church. Just stay home and watch another TV show. You know, look how much work it is to, you know, witness to your neighbor. Just, it's okay. Just drive in and, you know, you just do your own thing. And here there's a crowd of unbelief that begins to gather. It's what everybody's saying. And I'm sure Caleb and Joshua could have felt that way. Like 10 compared to 2. The crowd began to say, you know, this is what reality is. This is what everybody's saying. This is what everybody's doing. But here's the truth is that it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We need to flow with the Spirit of God and listen to the Spirit of God. The crowd will begin to say, well, the majority says, but we need to say, my priority is not the majority, it's God's supreme authority. My priority is not focused on where the majority is going or what they're saying or what they're doing. It's focused on God's supreme authority. And actually, when I make my priority God's supreme authority, then I get what everybody in the majority actually wants. It's pretty incredible. But somewhere in life, things can get out of focus, can't they, in our relationships. We settle down, comfort and compromise and bad choices. We think it's enough just to show up. God's saying, I want more than you just showing up. I want you to possess what I have for your life. And instead of Jesus being the vision of where we're going and what we're doing, we begin to seek other things first, and we begin to seek a house or a spouse or a job or a heartthrob. We begin to seek all other things, but the reality is what Jesus said is that if you seek first, put the priority of the kingdom first, all these other things will be added to you. It's not an either or. It never has been. He's saying, but if you put the priority first and me first, all those other things that you desire will be coming along with it. And even better than you imagined. So our relationships, we need to reconsider our relationships. What's feeding us? What talk are we having? What communication are we having? I mean, look at this. In verse 30, it says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses. He said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb, he's like, this word is for, it's the word to hush. Quieted. Shh, shh, shh. No, no. Stop your speaking. Shh. I feel like there's things that we need to hush in our life. So sometimes relationships that feed unbelief, feed fear, feed negativity. Shh, shh, hush, 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 hush. Shush it. Shoot up. I said shut up because some people think it's bad. Shoot up. You know, you don't really say it. Shoot up. Shh. Oh, some of you need a laugh. Okay, just a little laugh. It's funny. Shh. Hush. Be quiet. There's sometimes in our relationships, and it doesn't mean it's just another person. You can be watching TV programs that are feeding your unbelief. You can be on social media that's feeding your fear. You can be on things that are feeding the wrong thing, and you need to change your relationship. Shh, shh, shh. I turn that off. I put it on mute. I reconsider who my companions are. Boys, I thought we were with you. These ten guys, I thought we were with you. And Caleb and Joshua are making a stand now, and they're shh. Stop that talking. Stop that evil speaking. Stop it. You know, Pastor Abraham was here last week talking out of Malachi. It says they spoke often to each other about the Lord, and God overheard them. He was listening in on the conversation. He's like, I like what I hear. And he began to do some special things for them. And God is in our relationships. He knows the power of our relationships. And so we need to think about our friendships and what brings the best out of each other and not the worst. If you're in a relationship today and it's not bringing the best out, it's time for a change. It's time to make it right or move on. It's time to put it in order or move out. If they can't handle you putting the priority of Jesus Christ first in your life, maybe he or she was not the right one in the first place. I'm kind of talking about dating relationships there. Put it right. Reconsider your relationships. Who are you hanging out with? When was the last time you went away from talking to somebody and you were abuzz with the life of God? You were just like, anything's possible. Anything can happen right now. When was the last time you had fellowship like that? That's what I call true fellowship, not just sitting around eating some pie. When was the time you had true fellowship where you're just like, I can't wait to get in church next week because I don't know what God's going to do. He's going to meet us. I got a word stirring in my heart. I'm going to release it. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to witness to my neighbors. When was the last time you're like, let's take on this world? I mean, come on. That's the relationships we need to have with each other, that we provoke each other. I'm stirring you up to something good. I'm activating belief in you. I'm activating faith in you. Oh, yeah. Because Caleb's there going, we can do it. I got my Caleb. We can do it. And that brings me to point number three this morning. We need to recommit ourselves. Recommit yourself. In order to recapture the vision, we need to recommit ourselves. Caleb and Joshua weren't going to give in to the popular opinion of their day. They held fast to the promises. Let's read again in verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He said, we can possess. We have the capacity to prevail, to succeed. We have the power to overcome. You don't see it here, but we are well able and overcome are the same word. He says, we got it, we got it. We're going to overcome, we're going to overcome. We're able, double emphasis. You got it, you got it. No questions. We can and we will. And then you need to personalize it. I can and I will. Caleb's character is marked out as one, a man of another spirit. He had a different spirit, it says. There's something that was in him that God wants to release in you. And what it is just faith. Of another spirit, because when everybody seems to be dragging down and stumbling over and falling aside and doing their own thing and getting comfortable with where they're at, Caleb's like, oh, I'm not giving up. I'm holding to those promises. I'm reaching forward to those promises. There's another spirit in him. Wow. He kept going. He's like, difficulties were meant to be overcome. Give me some giants. I'm going to show you some muscles. In contrast, the other 10, verses 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people. We can't overcome. You guys, you know what? I know what it's like because we get through challenges. We get through those trials. We get to those places. And there's failure at times. There's other people around our lives who are stumbling, who seem to be falling. And we begin to question, God, can we really overcome? Is it really possible to possess what you have? Is it really possible to come into this place? And the Lord's saying, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I'll say it again. I've said it before. The miracles of the previous season have to feed your faith for the season you're moving into. The miracles of them coming out of slavery and going into freedom was to feed their faith to possess where God was taking them. The miracle of him providing water when they were thirsting was to feed their faith that they could overcome anything. The miracle of him providing bread, food from heaven to sustain them all those years was to feed their faith so that they could possess what they are now going to. What has God done in your past? Let it feed where you're going now. So they said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, verse 32. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight, and they flip it around there. They began to make up excuses of why they couldn't overcome, and instead of facing the things that were in their own hearts. You know, we can't overcome what we're unwilling to confront. And when we make it about out there instead of right here, we got a problem. They kept saying, they're a very, very strong people, instead of saying, I feel weak. I'm face to face with my weakness. Or the land will swallow you up whole. The land is eating up its inhabitants. They could have just said, I'm unsure actually about this whole thing. There's giants, and they could have realized, I'm not sure that I have what it takes. They're so big, I'm so small. They could have just said, I feel incompetent, God. I'm feeling like, do you know what kind of people live there? I think this is impossible, and I think actually I'm starting to give my heart over to unbelief. God, help my unbelief. Help me where I have unbelief. Help me, God. God, do you know where we live? We live in Marin. Wait. There's a lot of walls here. There's a lot of defenses here. This seems impossible to get past. There's things here, God, that I'm not sure about, but what can you do in this generation, God? Haven't you seen how dark it's getting out there, God? And we begin to go through this whole list, and we base it all in who we are instead of who he is. They measured the obstacles and the challenges by their own strength instead of God's. They needed to recommit themselves to God himself. They need to say, God, I need you to deal with me. I recommit myself to you. You've already said it's yours. I'll give it to you. I will give it to you. Rachel, it's yours. Put your name there. It's yours. It's yours. You're just going to have to deal with some giants. You have to deal with some things in your own heart. And I believe it's time, the worship team can come up, I believe it's time that we recommit ourselves to God, to see what he has for our lives and possess it. I believe that we were born for this time. I really believe that every person in this room, you were destined for this time. You're like an Esther in a generation, and that you need to recapture the vision of why you are here. I know it looks bad out there. I know it seems like there's some high defenses built. I know it looks like some big walls and barriers being constructed, but maybe that's why you are here. It's time we face our neighborhoods, our marriages, our relationships, our jobs, with the heart that Caleb had, that we are able to overcome. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray that the Lord gives you a fresh vision of what the Apostle John sees in Revelation chapter 5. He says, stop crying. Don't weep. I didn't preach this message for there to be a lot of tears this morning, although there can be tears, you know, because release can be important. But this message is that you would see the one who has prevailed. He said, stop crying, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. He's overcome. He's overcome. The same God who dealt with the giants out there, deal with the giants in your own heart. He wants you to possess all that he has available. It's just that simple. He loves us so much. He's like, I don't want you enslaved. I don't want you entrapped in stuff. I want you to possess the freedom, liberty, the love, and be in a fruitful place beyond what you can imagine. So that you would even say, I've come to a place where it flows. The land just flows with milk, and it just strips off everything. There's just fruit all the time. That's where he wants us to be. So it's time that we recapture the vision. And I know there are different parts of this message that would speak to you, but I want you to, and maybe you already have during the message, to begin to recall your promises. Beginning with the word that Mal gave earlier, that recall the words that God's delivered to your life. Recall those. Bring them up to the surface. For others, we need to really reconsider our relationships and how we've been feeding, how we've been apart. It's not just about what others are doing to you, but how you are giving or not giving out. How can you change those to be a relationship of faith? And it's time that we all recommit ourselves. And I feel like it's called to the altar again, called to the cross again, to the foot of the cross. Where I give it to you, Jesus, deal with the giants that are in me and make me an overcomer. So Lord, as we go to this worship time this morning, Lord, we present our giants to you. We present the things in our lives that you need to take care of, that in our own strength we are not able to, but you have the power, you have the might. And Lord, right now I pray that there would be a slaying of giants today. Even where we thought it was impossible. God, I write now with the power of your word that you would free, you'd lose freedom. You would lose transformation. I believe in the power of transformation. We can be changed. I believe that we can be changed. Some of you, you've come to church, but you've stopped believing in the power of change and the power that God can change you. And we come back to the cross, where we lay down our life, we give it over, we surrender it over for a new life, for newness of life. In your name I pray. Amen.